You're listening to Living Lab Radio. I'm Heather Goldstone. Climate change is complicated. Every part of our daily lives can play a role in causing it, from the electricity we use, the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the food we eat, even the healthcare services we rely on. And all of those aspects of our lives are also affected by climate change. Much of what we know about the impacts of climate change comes from sophisticated computer models. Now, a group of computer scientists is calling on their colleagues to put advanced computing and artificial intelligence to work to solve the climate problem. David Rolnick is lead author of a new study outlining what that might look like. He's an NSF Mathematical Sciences postdoctoral research fellow at the University of Pennsylvania. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
AI can mean a lot of things, and you actually, in this new paper, break down a number of categories of types of computing techniques that might be put to work. Give us some broad brushstrokes. What are we actually talking about using when it comes to climate change?
Absolutely. So there are so many different ways that AI can be put to use in accelerating techniques for both reducing the extent of climate change, what's called climate mitigation, and also helping society to adapt to the impacts of climate change, what's called adaptation. So some of the examples that we see throughout our paper are remote sensing. So for example, AI can help pinpoint where deforestation is happening using satellite imagery or aerial imagery, or gather data on where buildings and infrastructure are, which is essential to policymakers in developing appropriate policies around the world. Also in assessing damage after disasters. AI can also help in accelerating the process of scientific discovery itself by helping suggest new materials to use, for example, for batteries or for carbon capture technology. And AI can also help optimize complex systems to improve their efficiency, for example, by consolidating freight or helping design carbon markets or reducing food waste.
So you mentioned optimizing complex systems, whether that is industry supply chains, our transportation systems. This seems like something that industry and municipalities and states would already want to be doing. Is it a matter of giving these algorithms or the computers maybe a different goal that in the optimization, it's more consideration of climate change?
Yeah, so this is not a situation where AI is going to be any kind of a silver bullet that's going to come in and save the day and solve climate change. Very, very far from it. The way that these solutions work is by AI experts coming together with people like policymakers who have expertise in other areas and who have needs that can, in some cases, be fulfilled meaningfully by AI.
You also put as discrete categories things like decision-making. So, David Rolnick, what role are you thinking AI would play in things like individual decision-making? Are we talking about handing over the decisions we make about what we buy, what we use, you know, the electricity that we consume, just handing that over to computers?
Absolutely not. And computers wouldn't be able to do it if we wanted to. What we're talking about here is a situation where a person wants to, for example, understand their personal impact more. And an AI recommender system can provide suggestions about what decisions a person can make if they want. It's about providing tools for people.
Hmm. You also note that AI could not only help individuals make smarter decisions when it comes to their carbon footprint, but also help in the collective decision-making process, which, of course, has been a major sticking point for things like international climate policy. How do we actually come together and work collectively on this global scale problem? Are we talking about having some sort of robot AI sitting at the table helping with negotiations? Where does AI come into collective decision making?
Probably not. I think that the most valuable thing that AI can do in that situation is to provide the necessary data for policymakers to make informed decisions. So, for example, providing data on infrastructure, providing data on how disasters will affect parts of that infrastructure and different parts of the world, and providing ways that policymakers can potentially improve the systems that exist using the efficiency gains that AI can in some cases recommend.
Well, David Rolnick, another area that you and your colleagues point out might benefit from AI is carbon capture. I mean, this is fairly experimental technology at the moment, but something that a lot of people say we are going to need technology to actually suck carbon dioxide back out of the atmosphere if we want to hit internationally agreed climate targets. What role could AI play in capturing carbon?
So there are two main ways that we see AI being impactful potentially in capturing carbon. And as you say, this technology is very much in its infancy, so many of these applications are somewhat speculative. But preeminently, we see AI being important in understanding places where we can sequester carbon, identifying sites in the ground where it can be stored, and understanding when, for example, there might be a leak which could occur. Also, it's possible that AI could help in accelerating the discovery process of what are called carbon sorbents, so basically sponges that can soak up carbon dioxide. But again, that's rather conjectural.
And what about agriculture? That's another area that stood out for me as kind of a, what would you do with AI in agriculture to reduce the carbon footprint?
So it's not generally appreciated just how much carbon emissions come from agriculture. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One is that we use a lot of chemicals like fertilizers to produce the enormous yields which are necessary to feed the global population. And producing all those chemicals uses a lot of energy. And another way in which carbon emissions are generated by agriculture is because the process of industrial agriculture itself causes carbon to be lost from where it is sequestered naturally in the soil. And both of these can be potentially helped by precision agriculture, which is the process of targeting agricultural interventions and being able thereby to use less chemicals and disturb the system less. So, for example, understanding exactly when an individual plant needs fertilizer, needs watering, less energy and less treatment can be used if the system is smarter. So both the physical robots and the systems that run on those robots to understand the precise interventions necessary can be very impactful in reducing the carbon emissions of agriculture.
David Rolnick, in making the case for applying AI and advanced computing to the problem of climate change, you and your co-authors note, quote, "the growth of movements applying machine learning and AI to problems of societal and global good." But what we've also seen alongside the growth of AI in attempting to do good is that very often these algorithms are, if not fatally, significantly flawed. They reproduce and in some cases actually enhance biases and discrimination that exists in society and in the data used to train these algorithms to begin with. How do you think that could be avoided in the case of trying to use AI to address climate change?
This is absolutely something that we must bear in mind, that AI is at its best going to perpetuate whatever patterns are in the data that we feed into it. And it's a system for accelerating the decisions that we make. So if those decisions are flawed, the AI is not going to produce a decision that is better. I think that something that we particularly have to bear in mind is equity globally. There are many parts of the world which will be hardest hit by climate change, for which sometimes there is the least data available to make informed decisions. And techniques actually within AI for transferring conclusions from the places that we understand the most to the places that we have less data is fundamentally important in ensuring that the people who are most defenseless in some cases against climate change have the most support.
We saw an example of that recently. We reported on a study that used machine learning to update elevation estimates for parts of the world where really high quality, really accurate elevation data isn't available, and ended up highlighting a much higher level of risk from sea level rise than had previously been appreciated.
Exactly. Flood mapping is hugely impactful, and there is a role for AI there.
So what is the progress or the status in using AI specifically to address climate change? I mean, it's being applied in a number of different industries and sectors. Is this paper just to kind of catalyze a more concerted focus in the AI community on climate change, or what are you hoping to see come out of this?
So I lead a broader initiative, of which this paper is part, called Climate Change AI. And the goal of this initiative is to bring together the different stakeholders required to have meaningful impact applying AI to problems of climate change. And that discourse between different people, different experts, and different sectors is really fundamental to making sure that this makes its way beyond the paper to the real world. But many of these applications which we discuss are already in implementation around the world. Some of the applications which we discuss, we hope will be pursued in future. Some of them are being pursued. There are many companies in this area as well. It's not simply a matter for researchers. Everybody needs to be involved ultimately in the problems of climate change, and that goes as well for the AI community. There are many different pieces to the puzzle of climate change, and there are many different pieces to applying AI to those problems.
David Rolnick is an NSF Mathematical Sciences Postdoctoral Research Fellow at the University of Pennsylvania and lead author on a new paper outlining how artificial intelligence might help us address climate change. David, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Up next, Why Trust Science? Author and science historian Naomi Oreskes answers when Living Lab Radio continues after a short break.